Amen. If you have your Bibles, Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 35. Mark chapter 4. So the other day, I was driving on a two-lane road. Two-lane road right here in Enid. And I don't think, but the person in front of me, I don't think is in the room, but I was driving behind a vehicle. And suddenly, this vehicle that I was behind began to go very, very slowly. Started seeing the red brake lights quite a bit, and started to frustrate me a little bit. Like, we were going about 20 below the speed limit at this point. And as they were braking, they started to try to want to, like, turn off the side and, like, pull over. But there's no room on this two-lane road. And so I began to get more frustrated. Like, what are you doing? Like, get off the road. And so I go to go around them. And when I do, that's when I saw it. Two cars were coming at us. One of the cars was in the proper right-hand lane, as it was supposed to be. The other car was not. It was in our lane coming at us. You're just like, oh yeah, it was probably way down there. No. I'm talking, when I swerved over, the car was like right there, maybe 20 yards away. And so now I have a moment, and I have to like swerve over really quick, and I swerve over just in time for that car to literally swerve out of the way and miss the car in front of me, and therefore miss me as well. I was freaked out, I was in panic mode, but I learned something in hindsight, and that is that position determines perspective. Position determines perspective, meaning don't get mad at the car in front of you next time they're braking, unbeknownst to you as to why. But that car in front of me and myself, we were on the same road. We were looking in the same direction, going the same direction, but with two completely different perspectives. Two completely different perspectives. It was all about position. Position determines perspective. C.S. Lewis said it like this in The Chronicles of Narnia, Magician's Nephew. He said, what you see and what you hear depends a great deal on where you are standing. Position determines perspective. Another source put it this way. What you see in life can depend entirely on your physical viewpoint. For example, your horizon line moves up or down depending on whether you stand, sit, or lie on the ground. And objects grow smaller or larger as you move close. So for another example, think of yourself standing in fog. We've all been in fog before. Imagine yourself standing in fog, and you're looking around, and all you see is this wall of fog. Everywhere you turn, that's all you see. Your position is in the fog, and therefore your perspective is the fog. But if you can go just a little bit higher, if you can just change your position just a little bit, then everything about your perspective can change. Position determines perspective, which begs a question. It's a question I want to continue to ask over these next few weeks. Where are you standing? What is your position? Now, I'm not asking this in a physical position kind of way. I'm asking this in a spiritual position way. Meaning, are you standing in a position of faith or fear? Trust or terror? Proverbs 29:5 says, the fear of man lays a snare, lays a trap. But whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. It's why earlier the Proverbs say, trust in the Lord with all your heart, not partially, but all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. So where are you standing? What is your spiritual position? Faith or fear, trust or terror? Because which position you're in will determine your perspective. So today we're entering a new section in Mark's gospel. And this is going to be the last section we cover for some time. We're going to take a break from Mark going into September, and we'll come back to it at a later date, but we'll talk about that as it gets closer. But towards the end of Mark chapter 4 and into Mark chapter 5, there is a transition in Mark's writing. This transition leads to several recorded miraculous moments with Jesus, and it's in this passage that we learn a valuable truth, and that truth is this. In life, we are inevitably faced with obstacles and oppositions. Life is full of problems, right? It's full of work problems. It's full of house problems. It's full of health problems. It's full of relational problems. It's full of spiritual problems. Life is full of problems. And sometimes those problems are minor. Like this past week, all of a sudden, all of our smoke detectors in the house decided to start losing their batteries. And it always happened in like 2 to 4 a.m. range, one after another, right? That's a minor problem. That frustrates you having to wake up and all that kind of stuff. But other times, those problems are major. And what we face are dark and difficult situations such as storms, spiritual warfare, or suffering. But in Mark's gospel, specifically in this section, we're reminded that Jesus' authority and power supersede anything and everything we face or will face in this fallen world. In other words, as we're going to see over these next few weeks, Jesus is in control of our dark and difficult situations. But what's more is that Jesus is with us and will eventually deliver us from our dark and difficult situations. You may battle it till the day you die, but eventually he will deliver us. So therefore, no matter what, let us choose the position of faith over fear, trust over terror, because if we do, it'll change our entire perspective, no matter the situation. Look at verse 35, Mark chapter 4. On that day, Mark writes, when evening had come, he told them, let's cross over to the other side of the sea. This is the Sea of Galilee. This is Jesus talking. Let's cross over to the other side of the sea. So Jesus and the disciples left the crowds, and they took Jesus along since he was in the boat. And other boats were with him. There's other boats now around them going with them. Verse 37. A great windstorm arose. Common phenomenon there at the Sea of Galilee has happened quite a bit, but this great windstorm unexpectedly arose, and the waves were breaking over the boat so that the boat was already being swamped, meaning it's threatening to capsize or to sink. Verse 38, Jesus was in the stern. He's in the back of the boat, sleeping on the cushion. So the disciples woke him up and they said to him, Teacher, Rabbi, don't you care that we're going to die? Jesus got up, probably about like I did, getting up to a smoke detector going off at 3 a.m. Jesus gets up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, Silence, be still. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm, a stillness. Then he said to them, Why are you afraid? Why are you full of fear? Do you still have no faith? And they were terrified. And they asked one another, Who is this? Even the wind and the sea, or the wind and the waves, obey him? We'll stop right there. So here we are on the Sea of Galilee. Evening is approaching now. It's getting dark. And as we look closer at this miraculous moment with the storm, there are 4 points we need to see. 4 points. Number one, God sometimes leads us into storms. Sometimes. I don't have that on the screen, but put sometimes, right? Sometimes our storms are caused by ourselves. They're self-inflicted. For example, if I would have gotten mad at that car and just reared into them to show them, that would have caused a storm in my life. Not caused by God, but caused by me. It was would have been self-inflicted. Well, God sometimes, though, leads us into storms. Point number two, God is always with us in storms. And number three, God is forever in control of storms, no matter how little, no matter how large. And number four, God will eventually deliver us from storms. So let's start with number one. God sometimes leads us into storms. So here they are. Jesus and the disciples and other followers are there, and they just finished a season of Jesus traveling and teaching. We've been looking at that over these last few weeks. And they get into this boat, and they head across the Sea of Galilee. But who is it that led them onto the sea that day? Who led them into that storm? Jesus. See, many of us, we often get caught in a storm, and we then question God, or we question his purposes and plans for our lives based off the conditions and circumstances around us. And we begin to tell ourselves or others, man, what were we thinking leaving the shore? Why are we out here? We were better off back there. Sometimes whole nations do that when they find themselves in a wilderness. And so then we play the shoulda, woulda, coulda game. But here's the thing. Sometimes it's God himself who leads us into the storm. Translation, you can be in a dark and difficult storm, and you're right where God wants you. You're right where God led you. Who led Moses to confront Pharaoh? It was God. Who led the Israelites into the wilderness? It was God. Who led Joshua to the feet of the walls of Jericho? It was God. Who led Gideon and the 300 down into the valley for what seemed to be an impossible war? God. Who led David to Goliath? God. Who led Esther into the king's room? God. Who led Jesus into the wilderness? God. Who led Jesus to the cross? God. Who led the disciples into the boat and into that dark, difficult storm? God. God sometimes is the very one leading us into the storm. So we can be in a dark and difficult storm, and we're right where God wants us. We're right where God has led us. And so now we go to number two. God is always with us in the storms. Regardless of what the storm is, regardless of how we got into the storm, regardless of the largeness of the storm or how little the storm is, God is always with us in the storm. So there the disciples are. They're in panic mode. And who was right there in the boat with them? Jesus. Who was with Samson when he defeated the Philistines? God. Who was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire? God. Who was with Daniel in the lion's den? God. Who was with Peter when he broke out of prison? God. Who was with the disciples in the boat on the water in that storm? God. As Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and courageous, regardless of circumstances and conditions, regardless of the storm. Don't be afraid, for it's the Lord your God who goes with you. He won't leave you. He won't forsake you. So God sometimes leads us into the storm, and God is always with us in the storm, and that brings us to number three. God is forever in control of the storms. Who is in control of the flood? God. Who is in control of Job's situation? God. Who is in control when Jesus stood before Pilate? God. Who was in control when Paul and Silas were bound in prison? God. Who was in control of this storm on the Sea of Galilee? God. But here's what's interesting. At this moment, in this recounting of the miraculous moment, the disciples are overrun by waves. You can almost see the lightning, hear the thunder, feel the presence of these powerful waves crashing over the boat, splashing into their faces. You can almost just feel the fear. And so how do they respond? Well, their actions and their words revealed, and Jesus would later affirm it in his rebuke, they responded in fear, in terror. They freaked out. That was their position. Fear and terror. Thus, their perspective was disaster and death. That's what we can expect. But they go to Jesus, and Jesus is asleep. And they're shocked by his disposition, and rightfully so, because he's in the same boat as them. So they ask a question, don't you care? Don't you care if we die, if we drown? Which, by the way, many people are asking in our world today, maybe some of you in this room today, maybe you even asked it this morning, don't you care? Don't you see the problems in our world? Don't you see the problems in my marriage or in my family or at work or my health? Don't you care? How can you sleep at a time like this? How can you remain silent? How can this be your perspective? And again, it's a rightful question because the disciples, all they see is this. All they see are waves, the wind and the waves. All they see is the storm. All they see is the conditions and the circumstances around them. But Jesus, on the other hand, seemingly saw this pillow. Stillness, calmness, peacefulness. But how's that possible? How can they be in the same boat, in the same conditions and circumstances, in the same storm, and yet carry a night and day different perspective? How can they look at the same picture and walk away with different conclusions? It had everything to do with position. Not physical position, but spiritual position. Because position determines perspective. See, here's the thing. Jesus knew, he believed that the Father had led him into this world, that the Father would be with him in this world, that the Father was in control of this world, that the Father would see him through this world. And so therefore, Jesus' position was of faith over fear, trust over terror. And his position gave him the perspective of peacefulness, calmness, stillness, even in the midst of the storm. And by the way, it was this position that would give him the kind of perspective to get him through the cross. The disciples, meanwhile, in their position of fear over faith, terror over trust, in the storm, they doubted Jesus' direction. Doubted his presence as if it could do anything. They doubted Jesus' authority. And therefore, their perspective of the storm was disaster and death. They were looking at the same storm, the disciples and Jesus, but with two different perspectives. Looking at the same picture, but walking away with two different conclusions. It was all about position. Position determines perspective. Jesus was standing in the position of faith and trust. The disciples were standing in the position of fear and terror. Which begs the question, where are you standing? You look at the storm in our culture. You look at the storm in our world. You look at the storm in your own family. Where are you standing? The question is not what storm are you in, nor what caused the storm. Fear, trust, or the question is what is your spiritual position in the storm? Is it faith or fear, trust, or terror? Because your position will determine your perspective. Do you see disaster and death, or do you see God? Now, the moment there in the boat did not end with the disciples screaming at Jesus or Jesus screaming at them. Instead, Jesus woke up, and in his great grace and mighty mercy, he led them to his position. And he showed them his perspective. What he could see and what he knew and believed to be the truth. And it was in that position and in that perspective that they saw the wind and the waves submit to him. and come to a complete stillness. They came to see, to know, to believe that God is forever in control of the storm, no matter how dark or difficult that storm is. And what's more is that they then came to see, to know, to believe, the fourth and final point, that God will eventually deliver us from storms. And this point, you have to go to chapter 5, verse 1, which says, they came to the other side of the sea. Oh, so not disaster and death. They made it. Oh, wait a second. Just as Jesus said in verse 35, let's go to the other side, meaning we will go to the other side. Who delivered Noah out of the flood? It was God. Who delivered the Israelites out of the wilderness? It was God. Who delivered Naomi out of her bitterness? It was God. Who delivered Hannah out of her anguish? It was God. Who delivered Jesus from death itself? God. Who delivered the disciples from that storm that night? It was God. Who will eventually deliver you and me from the storm that we might be in now or might come to be in? God. Again, if you go back to verse 35, where Jesus says, hey, let us cross, meaning we will cross over to the other side, you can see all four truths found in that one verse. And then you can see all four of those truths correspond to the reality of the following verses. Jesus led them into the storm. Jesus was with them in the storm. Jesus was in control of the storm. And Jesus delivered them from the storm. Those who stand in the position of knowing and believing those four statements to be true, true in that they correspond to the past, present, and future realities of our lives, those who stand in the position of faith over fear, trust over terror, they will come to have a perspective like Jesus, no matter the storm. Because position determines perspective. So again, where are you standing? What's your spiritual position in the storm you find yourself? Is it faith or fear, trust or terror? What's your perspective? Because your perspective tells you your position. And we might respond to this moment and say, yeah, but how do I know? That's a nice Bible story. Happened 2,000 years ago. I get it. God led them. God was with them, was in control. God led them through. But really, how do I know? How can I know that that is true for me in my storm? To answer that question, I want to finish this sermon with a poem. With a poem. And this is what the poem says. Some went off to sea in ships, pursuing the trade routes of the world. They observed God's power in action, his impressive works on the deepest seas. God spoke and the winds rose, stirring up the waves. And their ships were tossed to the heavens, to the heights, and plunged again to the depths. And the sailors cringed in terror and fear. They reeled and staggered like drunkards and were at their wits' end. Lord, help! They cried in their trouble. And he saved them from their distress. He calmed the storm to a whisper and stilled the waves. What a blessing was that stillness as he brought them safely into harbor. Now, who is that poem written about? The disciples, Mark chapter 4. I mean, it just described in perfect detail the disciples in that miraculous moment, right? Well, do you know where you can find that poem? It's written in a very famous book. A book that was actually written hundreds of years before this miraculous moment in Mark chapter 4. The Book of Psalms. You can find it in Psalm 107. Now, how's that possible? Because listen, Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. Jesus knows exactly what he is doing, and Jesus knows exactly what he will do. Not just in your life and your family's life and our community's life and our culture's life, but in the world. So therefore, let us choose faith over fear, trust over terror, no matter the storm. Let us stand firm with him in his position and see his authority, an authority that supersedes the very storms in our lives and in this world. And in doing so, we will have his perspective of stillness, peacefulness, calmness, no matter the storm. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, I'm going to invite the team forward as we enter a time of invitation. Some of us in this moment, our conditions and circumstances, maybe in marriage or family or financial or relational or health or work, it's got us choosing the position of fear and not faith. It's got us doubting the creator and sustainer of the universe. And Jesus is confronting us right now, saying, do you still lack faith? I know what I'm doing. I know what I will do. I won't leave you nor forsake you. Regardless of how you got into the storm, I'm with you in the storm. I'm in control of the storm. I will deliver you from that storm. Yeah, it may come at your death. But for us to live as Christ, to die as gain, we will be delivered. So choose faith over fear. Trust over terror. You choose fear, it's a trap for you. But you choose trust and lean not on your own understanding, it'll be a very safe place for you. Well, you may still have to go to the cross, whatever that is for you. But it'll be a safe place for you. So in this moment, as the Lord is confronting you, convicting you, choose faith. Choose faith. And for others of us, it's just a time to give thanks for what he's done, what he's doing, what he will do. And even as I pray, if you have a decision to make, you say, man, I don't know Jesus, but I want to know Jesus. You come forward. You say, man, I know Jesus. I've been saved, but I've never been baptized. I got to get baptized. I want to get baptized. Come forward. Say, man, me and my family, we're struggling. Or me and my marriage, we're struggling. Come forward. You can talk to myself. You can talk to Weston, our student pastor. You can come and pray these steps. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. We'll talk. But be obedient to his call on your heart right now. Father, we thank you. We love you. We give you all the glory, the praise, and the honor. No matter the storm we find ourselves in or the storm we may find ourselves in the coming days, help us to remember that you're in control, that you're with us, that you will deliver us. Help us to choose the position of faith and trust so that our perspective would be changed from disaster and death to you, a stillness, a calmness, a peacefulness, a peace that surpasses all understanding. Move in our hearts and minds. May we be obedient to your call on our hearts right now. In Christ's name I pray. As you stand with us as we sing, you got a decision to make. You come.